This is Focus West Michigan for Monday, April 20, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Grand Rapids City leaders launched a new trip planning website on Monday, along with plans for managing parking and traffic ahead of next month's Acrisure Amphitheater opening. WGVU's Dee Morrison has the details.
A new parking venue webpage on the city website offers real-time parking links, walking routes, maps, shuttle information, and options for those with mobility issues. Visitors can now reserve a parking spot up to 3 months in advance at 10 city lots or ramps.
This is just an option for folks if they want to use it, but if there is any sort of concern about, I'm not sure where to go, I don't know what will be filled at what time, this enables you to lock in your spot.
Max Gillis is the Strategic Initiatives Director for Mobile GR, Grand Rapids Parking and Transportation Department. He's confident in the studies showing there is enough downtown parking when multiple venues host events simultaneously, noting more than 8,800 spaces available within a half mile of the amphitheater.
So it might be now that instead of walking half a block, you know, you're walking 3 blocks, but that means that you could explore the downtown area, and I think that's a great thing.
Gillis says teams have planned extensively, but are poised to pivot as they learn from each amphitheater event. City officials also discussed Dash bus connections, new rideshare pickup drop-off locations, and event night road closures. I'm Dee Morrison.
The first of 7 brand new electric school buses are ready to begin transporting Grand Rapids public school students. WGVU's David Limbaugh has more on their potential impact.
According to the Electric School Bus Initiative, districts can see monthly savings of $430 to $700 per bus when converting to electric. According to Dean Transportation officials, the price of an electric school bus is around $380,000, with the charging infrastructure between $25,000 to $50,000.
We would not be here today showcasing the buses of the future without the support of a $5.2 million grant from the federal government and a $1.5 grant from the state of Michigan.
That's GRPS Superintendent Dr. Ledrian Roby. Patrick Dean, president of Dean Transportation, says the process took years of planning.
From starting with a grant application to evaluating routes that would be optimal for electric school buses, to installing charging infrastructure, to driver and technical training, and finally to building out systems that monitor vehicle performance, we've taken this project step by step.
GRPS is expecting another 8 electric buses to arrive soon. With 154 buses in total, the process of converting the entire fleet to electric could take years. I'm David Limbaugh.
The Ottawa County Sheriff's Department is reminding the public to be aware and remain alert after a bear sighting. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
On Friday, Ottawa County Sheriff's officials say they responded to a call about a bear sighting. They say several reports came in to the Ottawa County Central Dispatch Authority. Officers responded to the area of Baldwin Street and 42nd Avenue. Several residents in the Schoolside Drive and Hidden Lake Drive residential neighborhoods reported they saw a bear roaming in the area. Sheriff's officials did get pictures from residents that confirmed the bear was on their property. Officers searched the area but did not locate the bear. However, they did contact Hudsonville school officials, which ended up keeping students inside the buildings out of caution on Friday. Authorities say bears are not generally aggressive but can be unpredictable. They encourage the public to remain alert and take appropriate safety measures. They also say if a bear is seen, avoid approaching the animal and call 911 if the bear is being aggressive or poses an immediate threat. The Department of Natural Resources has also been notified. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Out of 10 applicants, there are now 3 finalists to fill a vacancy on the Grand Rapids City Commission, and WGVU's Phil Dawson reports one of them is a former commissioner who lost his seat when he ran for re-election.
To be a city commissioner was the greatest experience of my life.
Ken Reppert was elected to the city commission in 2018, but 4 years later lost his seat to Drew Robbins. Robbins has now resigned to run for the state legislature, and Reppert is a finalist to serve the remainder of Robbins' term.
My time on the commission would help me to step in on day one to be helpful to you all.
The job of a commissioner is to serve the people.
Finalist Dan Cope is a professor at Grand Valley State University. She's worked as an elections inspector in Grand Rapids Township.
I recognize that the work is never done. It's only ever evolving, and I would bring that work ethic with me to the commission.
I am a lifelong Grand Rapids resident.
Finalist Lindsay Perez Plesher is a mental health professional and director of the Center for Immigration Studies and Education.
Grand Rapids is a fantastic place to live and a great place to raise a family, and I really want to help us maintain that family-friendly environment.
Now that the Committee on Appointments has narrowed the list, the entire city commission will interview the three finalists on Wednesday. And if one is chosen, City Clerk Joel Hondorp says they will immediately take office.
If someone is selected on the 22nd, we will move right to an oath of office right away.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Mobile 3D mammograms are coming to Wyoming starting this month. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports on the new program.
Cherry Health is partnering with the University of Michigan Health to offer mammogram screenings through its Michigan Medicine Mobile Unit at the Wyoming Community Health Center. It will provide mammography 4 times a year in the parking lot of the center on Burlingame, using low-dose X-rays to capture multiple 3D images of the breast at different angles. Cherry Health Chief Medical Officer Dr. Jenny Bush says mammograms can help detect breast cancer even before lumps or other symptoms appear. And when cancers are found early, chances of survival are highest. Bush added this type of mammography is a state-of-the-art screening that helps better identify abnormalities not always visible on a standard 2D mammogram, especially for those with dense breast tissue. Services are available to anyone in the community, not just Cherry Health patients. The nonprofit is focused on removing barriers and expanding access to healthcare in underserved communities and offers resources to the uninsured or underinsured. I'm Dee Morrison.
The city of Grand Rapids wants to begin a project that will prevent excess stormwater from overburdening the city's wastewater treatment plant, sending it instead to the Grand River. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The project includes 3,000 feet of sewer separation on Godfrey Avenue from Oxford Street to the Grand River. A larger storm sewer will replace an older combined sewer to direct rainwater to the river instead of the water treatment facility.
The total estimated cost is $28 million, so hence our ESD team has been working hard to identify alternate funding sources for this substantial project.
Grand Rapids Acting Engineer Cindy Irving says this is the last pipeline section needed to direct rainfall to the river, maximizing the impact of past improvements across 184 acres.
Our combined sewer overflows to the river have been disconnected for quite some time. We still have some combined sewers that will send stormwater to the Water Resource Recovery Facility.
The city is seeking a $20.7 million loan for the 2027 fiscal year from the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy to finish the project. The remaining $7.3 million is not eligible for the loan. The project is still in the design phase, with construction scheduled to begin in 2028, lasting 2 years. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin talks about the Girls Choral Academy ahead of their performance at the Shelley Irwin Fun Run, but first, news from around the state. Genesee County Sheriff Chris Swanson turned in paperwork on Friday to get on the ballot in his Democratic campaign for governor. Colin Jackson has more.
A handful of supporters cheered, laughed, and cried as Swanson submitted what he says are more than 26,000 nominating petition signatures from across the entire state. Swanson, who has trailed in Democratic primary polling since the beginning, warns not to count him out. He says he's in the race for the long haul.
I'm not dropping out. I'm not a lieutenant governor. I'm not going to withdraw. I've got the petitions. I've been counted out from the beginning. Not today.
He's up against Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, who turned in her nominating petition signatures earlier this week. Michigan's gubernatorial primary election is in early August. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
A new study is examining the effects of immigration enforcement on children and their families. Researchers with the Center for Law and Social Policy talked with immigrant families in many states, including Michigan, about their experiences since Donald Trump took over the presidency. In Michigan, immigrants make up about 7% of the state's population. The group's Dr. Kaylin Rapport says families are often scared to leave their own homes.
What we learned is that children are missing critical health checkups and days in early education programs and school. They're being bullied, frightened by law enforcement agents, afraid to play outside, and losing sleep. Most of all, they're scared of losing their parents.
The group recommends legislators limit places where ICE agents can detain people. Last year, the Trump administration repealed guidelines that said federal agents should not arrest people in hospitals, houses of worship, and schools. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. The Shelley Irwin Fun Run is this Saturday and will be kicked off by the Girls Choral Academy singing the national anthem. WGVU Shelley Irwin sat down with members of the academy to talk about the opportunities it offers for the girls and more.
Let's talk all things Girls Choral Academy, because you'll hear them, their talented voices, come our Saturday morning back for round two. If that's your reason to run, walk, and skip with us this Saturday, please do. Girls Choral Academy, led by Lisa Knight. Good morning to you, Lisa.
Good morning, my friend.
Sidekick Mary Kate Mernon.
Hi.
Director of Communications and Development. Big job you have. Both we've seen you on stage, and now you sharing your talents with your girl community. Oh, Lisa, you have so many hats that you wear, but this is all about GCA.
This is the GCA hat. Yeah.
Remind me of that one person who's never heard of GCA.
Ah, well, for that one person, Girls Choral Academy is an organization that mentors young girls using choral music. So we work with girls first through 12th grade all across Kent County. They have rehearsals where they come together and they build community and they learn how to sing, but they also learn all of the things that impact the brain through music and through choral music specifically. So that's talking about math and literature and writing and syncopation and timing and teamwork and self-confidence, all of those things that help build up the inner core of who we are and strengthen these young ladies for the future.
And some of these ladies, Mary Kate, have to talk to an audience or ask for a donation. What else happens when it comes to communicating with Girls Choral Academy?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, we are on socials. We are on LinkedIn. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. So that's a great way to keep up with us online. We are posting all the time and we're performing all the time. So I'd love to see everyone come out and support us. We're going to be performing at the amphitheater opening. It's going to be Saturday, May 16th. And we're performing at 11:30 a.m. So our girls are going to get to be part of that big grand opening. And we're very excited for them to have that opportunity.
I just dropped your name about 10 minutes ago. Lisa Knight, who are these girls?
These girls are girls from all over the community, from different cultures and races and backgrounds, and all of them have a desire to do something, right? They have a dream in their heart or a twinkle in their eye, and so we try to build community with them and relationships with them so that we can begin to pull out those skills and those talents that these young girls have. And some of them don't even know that they have it until they get in there, and then they start to blossom and they start to show you all the different sides of them, right? And they decide they want to be leaders. They want to lead a song. And so that takes practice and it takes time to put things together, and you have to turn things in on time. And so it's all about accountability and teamwork and really embedding in them the skill sets that they're going to need for the future.
Yes. Mary Kate, this Girls Choral Academy experience also involves camping?
It sure does. We've got a camp this summer. It is a day camp. It is from 9 a.m. to 11, Tuesday through Friday. It starts June 16th, and it's open to all girls, not just girls that are currently enrolled in our academy. And it's, I believe, grades three through fifth,
grades
correct?
Third through fifth, yep. Yes. And it is free.
Wow. How can it be free?
It's free because we partner with a number of organizations within the community to help support and underwrite the costs that it takes for us to do this. So they have 4 days where they're learning music, movement and dance, writing and literature. And then the fourth day is about career development and taking them out in the community and really making that bridge between the things that they're learning and things that people do in the community.
Yes. Your website, I'm on, of course, girlschoralacademy.org. 30-year anniversary. Are we going into it or are we celebrating as we speak?
We are celebrating as we speak, mm-hmm. And it is an amazing year. It is our journey back to the Emerald City. So we have a huge benefit November 12th that we are preparing for. And when I tell you, it's going to be amazing. We've been planning for a year and a half, mm-hmm. I think.
Well, most of all, I'd say 100% of your benefits are big deals. So
absolutely
wonderful that is. Mary Kate, how can one get involved in Girls Choral Academy?
Oh, there's so many opportunities. I mean, we're always looking for volunteers at events to help us with our girls or to help us get set up for things. We are always accepting donations. I think our girls need support now more than ever, and it's a great way to get involved. Just in that sense as well. You can go onto our website, girlscoralacademy.org, and we've got a page that kind of lays out all of the different ways you can get involved, whether that's monetarily or with your time and talents. We would love it, whatever you have to give, our girls would love to learn from. So,
Lisa, does one of the activities include a Chicago trip?
It does. So we have seven different campuses now around the community, and we work specifically with GRPS doing after school programming in four of their schools right now. We're expanding this fall. We're adding two more schools to that, and if the girls are in this program and they participate for 80% of the program, so coming to rehearsals and the different events and things that we plan for them, they get to go to Chicago. We take them for a day trip over there to just explore. They get to see things that they may not have had an opportunity to see, and it's free for them, and they get an opportunity to perform while they're there.
Mary Kate, again, as an actor, are these girls learning discipline, responsibility, theater etiquette?
Oh my gosh, yes. And we're looking to expand as we grow as an organization as well. Right now, we're focused on the music and the building of a person part of it. And we're hoping in the future to incorporate dance and movement. And I think that's such an important skill for girls to be learning. It builds such confidence and lets them know that they're allowed to make choices for themselves.
Yes. What else is important? We know, Lisa King.
Just being a part of this work is important, right? As we think about our future and think about all the things that are being taken away from us, we want to be able to have a space where these children can still dream about what they can do and who they can be. But it's not even just our kids, it's their families, right? We bring families alongside. We help to support them in some of the things that they need and let them be a part of what we're doing.
How much do time, talents, and treasures count, Mary Kate?
How much do they count?
Yes, I mean, time, talent, treasures involved here.
Oh, yes, it counts for everything. These girls, like everything that we are able to give to them, helps them grow to be bigger and better. And I think it all counts. All of it counts.
Yes. All right. Details one more time. How can I find out more information, Mary Kate?
GirlsCoralAcademy.org. We've got information about our summer camp on there, upcoming events, how to get involved with donations or your time and talents, or just reach out to us and we can help you figure out how best to fit in.
Leave me with inspiration, Lisa Knight.
If we don't pour into our children now, we won't have a future of dreamers, a future of doctors, leaders, creators. We need everyone engaged in the work that we're doing, and it is so important. This is what I had when I was a young person. I had mentors and people who poured into me, and I could never have created the space where I was in. I could not have planned it myself, but having people to stand behind you and with you to help push you and guide you is what we need. And we continue to need those things even as adults. So I hope that you will come along beside us and help us to build the next generation of greatness in our community.
Seeing those talented voices this Saturday, for sure, seeing the national anthem at our race run, fun run.
Yes.
Mary Kate and Lisa, thank you for your community spirit.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you.
All you do.
Hi to the girls.
All right.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Monday, April 20, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Buerling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.